Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by former Capital newspaper reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine. And Rob, the first TV ad in the governor's race debuted this week with Republican Greg Gianforte's statewide ad airing, and that's the first one of the campaign season of the state races.
Right, Sally, and I think what we see here is a fairly typical first ad of a campaign, especially for a candidate who isn't particularly well known. And usually what you see in these early ads is an attempt to do a couple things. First, to portray the candidate as being one of us. We won't get to hear that on the radio, but if you see it on TV, they're all the kind of iconic Montana images, the mountain backdrops and everything.
The candidates rely on the tractor
and all of that. And so there's an effort to humanize the candidate, portray him as someone who we as voters can relate to. The second thing I think that you see in these initial ads is an attempt to establish a narrative about what this campaign is all about. So to try to prime voters to think about, when they think about this governor's race, what is that key issue that this race is about?
Well, let's listen to the ad. It's about a minute long, and hear what he has to say.
Hi, I'm Greg Gianforte. And just like you, I know too many Montanans who have had to leave because they can't find a job opportunity. But it does not have to be that way. Because when we pair big, forward-thinking ideas with hardworking Montanans, the sky is the limit. When folks said we couldn't do it here, my wife and I started the business at our home that ultimately created over 500 high-paying jobs for Montanans. Because we weren't afraid of thinking big and pursuing a bold idea with the people we trust in the state we love. I'm a job creator, not a politician who thinks government has all the answers. But I do know Helena thinks too small. And that's exactly why we can't wait for them to solve this problem. I'm Greg Gianforte, and I'm running for governor because we owe it to every Montanan who wants to come home and to our children to create opportunities so that they can raise their families here in Montana.
I'm a job creator, not a politician. That's the core message for Greg Gianforte, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. We've heard that before. This is, at this point, a very familiar theme. For those of us closely following it, it starts to feel a bit like old hat here. But we need to remember, for most Montanans, this will be their first introduction to Greg Gianforte. And I think one of the things we're seeing in this campaign is a very deliberate and disciplined campaign rollout, hammering home on this theme. And this ad is just the latest example of that.
And Chuck, as we mentioned, visually, it's really got all the Montana touchstones in it. And overall, it comes across very well, I think.
I think it's a pretty good introductory ad. And he gets his message across that he's an outsider. He's not a government bureaucrat. He's a job creator, not a politician. And these are really the themes of his campaign. And I thought for introductory ads, it was a good one.
I'm sure there will be more ads coming out as the season progresses here. This would be the first one. Chuck, the U.S. House race between Republican Ryan Zinke and Democrat Denise Juneau is shaping up to be one of the most expensive in Montana House race history, with both candidates raising record-setting amounts, though Representative Zinke is still way ahead in how much he's raised overall.
That's right, Sally. Zinke has raised about $3.6 million to Juneau's $627,000, but he's also spending it at a pretty fast clip. He spent about three-quarters of his total so far this election cycle over the two-year period. And as we've talked before, he's buying up lists of names to solicit for money and support, that sort of thing. But it is a high spending account from that sense. But I think both candidates are raising money in a very skilled way, and it's going to be one of the higher spending races we've seen in this race ever.
Well, Rob, national pundits and polls have previously predicted Republicans would easily hold on to this seat. But now pollsters like Rasmussen have changed it from the seat will stay Republican to likely will stay. They've notched it up a little bit as being more competitive.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that partly has to do with these fundraising numbers. You know, one of the interesting things about these fundraising numbers is that one of the knocks on Denise Juno, whose name has been mentioned for running for Congress or governor for a number of years, one of the question marks about her was whether she would be able to raise money, whether she had the ability to raise the money and or the kind of fire in the belly to do it. And I think what we're seeing here is that she is raising a lot of money. It in some ways looks small compared to Zinke, but as Chuck says, Zinke spent most of the money that he's raised. And one thing to pay attention to, I think, when it comes to looking at these fundraising totals, we've talked about this a bit in the past, is that it's not necessarily important for Denise Juno to match Ryan Zinke dollar for dollar. At some point in these elections, you reach a saturation point where one more ad doesn't really help you all that much. So there's a point of diminishing returns. What she needs to do is to be able to raise enough money to get her message out, to be competitive. And it appears, based on these last two quarters of fundraising, that she might have a credible chance to do that.
And one reason, isn't it, Chuck, that national pollsters might be rating this race and some of the other races that were previously considered solidly Republican as a little more tenuous is the question mark about who are going to be the presidential nominees and what effect they will have on these down ballot races.
That's exactly right, Sally. One of the people that traditionally ranks races is a professor from the University of Virginia named Larry Sabato. And he did an article this past week talking about that very issue, that the uncertain prospects on the Republican side could hurt some Republican down ticket candidates such as Ryan Zinke. Now, by these people changing it from certain Republican or sure Republican to a lesser grade, that will probably lead to both candidates getting more money, ironically, because Democratic fundraisers in Washington are going to see that and say, well, maybe Denise Juno does have a chance and send more money her way. Likewise, if Zinke looks a little weaker, that may encourage more fundraising to him. So it'll be interesting to see how that works.
Well, Chuck, one race we haven't talked much about yet is the race for state school superintendent that Denise Juno has held all these years. And this race features Democrat Melissa Romano and Republican Elsie Arntzen, both teachers, but that's about the end of their similarities.
That's correct. Both of them are experienced teachers, and I think both elementary teachers. The only real difference in their experience is that Elsie Arntzen has been a Republican legislator for about a decade, and she ran for Congress in 2014, although finished dead last, I believe, in the race, a six-way race in the Republican side. But they certainly disagree on the issues. We'll hear more about that.
Right now, actually, one example of their differences is how they feel about tax credits for private schools. And here's Melissa Romano's view of that.
I think that our public tax dollars are best served going to public schools.
And here's what Elsie Arntzen has to say about the same issue.
In Montana, we must make sure that all opportunities are looked at. We have children across our state. Some are in public, some are not. We need to make sure that all of our children learn with that.
So a clear difference there, Rob.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the interesting things about this race is it takes place within a context where Democrats actually have a pretty clear advantage. Montana is a state in general that, as we know, leans Republican. But when it comes to education, national polls routinely and for decades have showed Democrats having a huge advantage in terms of voter perception about who's going to do a better job on education. And I think one of the reasons for that partially is what we see in those two clips that you just played. You know, rightly or wrongly, Republicans who kind of hedge on that issue raise questions for voters about whether or not they're totally committed to public education. And I think that's maybe even a bigger issue in a state like Montana, where the vast majority of students are in public schools, right? This isn't like New York City or Washington, D.C., where you have all kinds of private schools everywhere. And so this is just one of the reasons why Democrats have kind of a built-in advantage when it comes to a race like this.
Well, the school superintendent race sometimes gets lost in the glare of the higher profile races, but it's a very important post that people should pay attention to, Chuck.
Absolutely. It's one of the five land board offices. So the superintendent, whichever one of these women is elected, will be making important decisions regarding use of state lands and the state making money from that through leasing them out or or in the past, we've had coal leases, oil and gas leases, ranchers lease the lands. And the superintendent is the chief spokesman for public education in Montana. And that's an important role that is really the main point of the office. And they also distribute millions of dollars in federal money. So it's an important office, if a low-key one.
And the chief lobbyist at the legislature for education as well. Well, you've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm your host, Sally Mock, and I've been speaking with former Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine. Let's enjoy the beautiful weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.